Welcome to MVP. We're Sports Illustrated's Charlotte Wilder
and Jessica Smetana.
And this is the Most Valuable Podcast.
Brought to you by the Most Valuable Podcasters.
Hey, Jess.
Hey, Char.
How you doing?
Good.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
November 6th, Election Day.
Yes.
Have you voted yet?
No, it's like 9 a.m.
I know. Sorry. I just wanted to brag that I voted early.
Okay. Congratulations. Today, we're talking about a lot of things.
Oh, we have a packed show for you. We're gonna have to do the whole thing is like Jess doing her ND rant and talk
super speed
at the speed of light. We're gonna talk about the Rodgers versus Brady. I don't know if you can even call it a debate or a hype.
We'll get there.
Okay, daylight savings. We have some marriage advice, which should be interesting because neither of us know anything about marriage. And by we, I mean Aunt Char has some marriage advice. Mm-hmm. True Gritty chapter 3, Fortnite. I mean,
whole lot of stuff. So Should we get started?
Should we get into it? We're going to tell you about, we have some personal news coming up a little bit later in the show about our weekends, but we had the most on-brand weekends for both of us.
Yeah.
Charlotte
was at a fancy baseball gala in Boston.
I was, not to brag. Got all dressed up, made everyone go to a dive bar, and all checked out. Jess was in South Carolina mm-hmm. at a tailgate. So
for a Clemson Louisville game,
very
close game, hotly contested.
Yep, everyone
came
was
down
talking
to the wire.
About it. Okay, so today's rundown: we are ranking we're ranking our news items this week. We have six news items, and we're ranking them based on how much each one makes us want to throw our phones.
It was a suggestion from someone on Twitter.
Yeah, we tweeted out like what should our ranking system be this week. We got a ton of great options, which we have put into our handy dandy MVP spreadsheet, which I think is the only time in my professional career I've used a spreadsheet. But this one felt right for this week because there are a lot of things that annoyed us.
Right. As always, kind of, for me. Anyways, so we're ranking least makes us want to throw our phone out of frustration to most makes us want to throw our phone out of frustration.
Yes. So the first one we can just hold our phones and talk about and not feel the need to throw them.
Right.
Which is Le'Veon Bell's tweet that said, "Farewell, Miami," with a hand-waving emoji, but farewell was spelled F-A-I-R-W-E-L-L.
Yeah, it was a misspelled tweet.
As in, like, happy carnival, Miami.
we'll let it slide because I am by the time you listen to this, this might have already, like, resolved itself, but
For people who have no idea what we're talking about, like, why is this significant?
Well, because Le'Veon Bell didn't want to sign his franchise tag and basically has been holding out all season, has not reported to the Steelers facilities, and now it's like week 10 or what is it, week 10? I don't even know.
I think we're coming up on week 10.
And he still isn't there and hasn't played a game yet, and the Steelers have been doing pretty okay without him. James Conner has been a pretty good replacement, I would say. He's like broken some of Le'Veon's records, mm-hmm. done things that Le'Veon didn't do in Pittsburgh. But anyways, I'm like very on the fence. As a Steelers fan, I should mention, I'm on the fence about
What's the Miami part? Was he just hanging out?
Oh, yeah. He was just in Miami. Like, there were videos of him at, like, strip clubs and stuff. Like,
I mean, I don't blame him. If I were holding out, I'd be like, you know what?
I mean, I wouldn't stick around in Pittsburgh.
No. Mm-mm. Miami sounds great.
Yeah.
Anyway, so as a Steelers fan, this doesn't make you want to throw your phone?
Well,
like, walk me through this.
I have, like, everyone's saying, oh, it's going to be great. Like, they're going to have two really good backs now, Connor mm-hmm. and Bell. And, you know, they already have two really good wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I'm on the fence because I am scared that they're going to fuck it up. Like, I'm scared that having two good backs, I don't know, like, I don't know if it might take
too much of a good thing.
It might take a while for their offense to figure out how to use them both the right way.
I could see that.
Down the stretch, the Steelers have some really tough games. They're playing New England. They're playing Carolina this Thursday.
Wait. When do the Steelers and the Pats play?
In like a month.
We are going to have to, I mean, I would say we should watch that together, but I also don't want you to murder me.
Why? The Steelers are going to win. So they won last year, so
okay,
they're probably going to win again. Anyways, I have James Conner on three of my fantasy teams, and he has been great, and I'm scared that if Le'Veon comes back.
So do you not want Le'Veon to come
back? No, I do. It's just I feel conflicted about, like, wow, things are going.
This is,
the last four games have gone really well for Pittsburgh, and I'm scared that.
You are such a true sports fan where, like, things are good, and you might be able to have something better, and you're worried that, not better, but something, like, all really good, and you're worried that the really good thing will mess up the, like, pretty good thing.
My brain is warped, Charlotte.
Yeah,
I'm
wow.
scared.
You have grown up with, like...
I love Le'Veon, and I want him to come back and be happy, and I want them... there's just going to be more drama, and I don't think I can take it.
No, I get it. I get it.
So I don't want to throw my phone because of this, but my hand's a little sweaty.
It's slipping.
Yeah. Phone's slipping out of my hand.
Okay. Number five makes us want to throw our phones a little bit more.
Because Thursday Night Football last Thursday was not good.
No.
Thursday Night Football's back to its old tricks.
Thursday Night Football has decided that there were a few games where they tricked us, where Thursday Night Football was like, oh, am I hot now? And you were like, oh my God, did
Thursday Night Football looks good.
Yeah, like, did you see, have you, like, seen Thursday Night Football's Instagrams recently?
Looks really good.
Like, oh my God. And then it turns out that, you know, they just used a really good filter. and because last week, this feels like years ago now, but the Raiders played the 49ers, and the 49ers were using their quarterback was Nick Mullins, who's their third string quarterback, and wasn't even verified on Twitter when he started this game, and which we'll get to in a second because I have thoughts about why everybody freaked out about it. But anyway, the Raiders lost by 31 points. It was 34-3. John Gruden was playing with his first string quarterback, Derek Carr, and lost
to Nick
Mullins.
The Raiders are just really bad. And it sucks that they were on primetime because no one cares about them or wants to watch them. And Nick Mullins is like a rookie from Southern Miss who probably never thought he was going to play a game. And there he was on primetime, played really well, actually. And probably going to play this weekend because CJ Beathard's still hurt or whatever.
Or
Jimmy Garoppolo is still extremely hurt.
Jimmy Garoppolo is...
Unfortunately.
Done. Yeah, he's just hanging out with porn stars and... Sorry. There's nothing wrong with that. Anyway, everyone during the broadcast, like, his post-game interview with Aaron Andrews, Nick Mullins is standing there and she's like, oh my God, great game. You got Twitter verified during the game. How do you feel about that?
So
and I was
stupid.
Like, why are you asking him about getting verified? What about, like, hey, you had an incredible game and no one...
Also, like...
Who, if that's the bar...
Who cares about being Twitter verified?
I know. Like, if that is the bar, then just kill me now. Because, like, there are so many verified idiots that I'm like, if this is what we're,
like,
judging people...
Two of them are talking to you right now.
Literally,
on a podcast.
If we have blue checks...
Anyone can.
And that is a big deal. Like, we are in more trouble than we thought. So that's why that made us want to throw our phone. Like, that made me just want to, like, toss my phone in the air and catch
gently.
It. Yeah.
Like, a toss it up to myself, catch it.
Yeah, and be like, ugh. With those sound effects. Number four on the things that made us want to throw our phone. This was a little more aggravating. A lot of night football things on this rundown because...
As in two, because there are two.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Two.
Anyways.
Okay, anyway.
Sunday Night Football was Packers versus New England.
Not sure you heard. Rodgers versus Brady, both number 12. Two goats in a match fight up to the death.
So I have a little bit of a problem with this narrative that
Talk
was like...
Me.
So, okay, last weekend we saw this Michael Jordan promo for this Sunday Night Football game where he's like teasing it as if he's talking about, you know, him and LeBron James, but he's actually talking about Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And
Right. It's
just, I think it was kind of just a waste of a good promo idea because, like, the Packers are like 3-3-1 this season. Like, they're extremely .500.
Right. They're pretty average.
New England is New England. Like, they're good. They
right.
have a winning record. They were in the Super Bowl this year.
What are they? 7-2
they
now?
They didn't win it, but
okay. Wow.
They were, yes, they were in the Super Bowl. They didn't win. But anyways, I just the Manning versus Brady thing over the last whatever
right.
like 10 years, I think was a compelling narrative because you could at least compare their careers,
their achievements.
Right. Like, they had both won multiple Super Bowls, and they were the same age, which is important. And
yeah, that's what threw me off a little bit about this, is that it really felt like there was a lot of reaching going on to make this,
like, I get it. Aaron Rodgers is arguably one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played the game. And right. Tom Brady is the most accomplished quarterback to ever play the game.
Right.
But, like, the two of them don't play on the field at the same time. Like, they're never actually going head-to-head. I don't think, like, in game planning, they have anything to do with each other, really. And it's just
right, like,
kind
they're
of,
studying the defenses.
As a producer, I understand why NBC is trying to, like, make this narrative a thing to make you... Like, I'm sure it works. I'm sure people watch the game just because they're like, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. But it's like...
Right. We were going to watch it anyway.
We knew
for that.
New England was going to win. Right. Like, it wasn't even a question. The Packers just aren't that great this year.
What cracked me up about this was that everybody really, really leaned in. And a reporter in Boston, during one of Tom Brady's press conferences, he asked him, he was like, oh, so have you ever thought about giving up some of your arm for some of Aaron Rodgers' legs? You ever done that? And Brady, Brady just looks at me and goes, no. And then he's like, oh, so this friend, it's kind of a bromance, isn't it? Between you and Rodgers. And Brady was also like, also no, not really. And I don't know. The NBC had goats fighting. Like, they put a goat in a Rodgers jersey.
Too much goats.
Yeah, like,
too
a lot of goat content. Also, that seemed mean, and they didn't even have the, like, no animals were harmed disclaimer. And I was like...
they harmed animals!
I was like, can someone check on the fucking goats? Like, can we get an update here?
Well, one of the goats is a little banged up.
Oh, also, one thing from this game...
Okay. Matt Aaron Rodgers.
It took me a second. One of my favorite things about this broadcast was when Edelman, there was a trick play or something, and Edelman, did he throw it? Is that?
Like, I didn't watch it. I don't know. I was on an airplane,
right,
so I missed most of it.
Some football thing happened that I'm probably going to butcher. So anyway, the announcer, Collinsworth, is like, well, you know, Edelman played quarterback in college, which made me, Edelman played quarterback is to Chris Hogan played lacrosse is to Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard. It like, they take these little nuggets about people and
trivia
then
bits.
Cling to them.
Yeah, you hear it every single time.
Right,
these
and it's
teams
like,
play.
Things that are like slightly unusual, sure, but none of this is like shocking.
Well, yeah, not like it's not surprising to me that a wide receiver in the NFL once played quarterback because in high school a lot of times your quarterback is just the most athletic player on the team.
Totally.
Also, like, Chris Hogan playing lacrosse is a thing that you hear all the time. Like, lacrosse is a sport, and I don't
right. Like, I know a lot of guys who played football and lacrosse.
Right. It's
not to brag.
Charlotte knows a lot,
I know
of guys.
A lot of guys.
They were very athletic,
And they were all hot and good at sports. So, but this actually this made me think, Jess. Like, what would your Chris Hogan played lacrosse?
Oh yeah,
be
I have
about
a good
you?
Mine. Okay, so Jessica Smetana is lined up in the slot right there. She, you know, Al, she went to Clemson her freshman year. Did you know?
No,
she has
really?
A lot of ties to the Clemson football program. But
yeah, big
she
supporter.
Ultimately graduated from Notre Dame, which is why she is such a big Notre Dame fan.
Okay.
But, you know, when she goes down to Clemson, there's a lot of friends down there. She's still in touch with everyone. She's big, big Dabo guy.
Yeah, I've heard she drinks some Tito's and soda at the tailgates every once in a while. She goes down there.
Dude, I do that everywhere. That would be my tidbit, though.
So I think it took me a second to think of mine, but I think that mine would be, well, you know, Al, Charlotte Wilder suited up here. She got her start in the culinary world. She worked at a food mag, America's Test Kitchen.
Chris, what? Tell me more.
Yeah, she was, her first job was a web editor at Cooks Illustrated. Now she's in the sports world.
Must really inform her food takes there, working at Sports Illustrated.
Oh, yeah, she's cooking up a lot of hot takes, Al. Yep, for sure. Okay, and we are back. Sorry, I'm getting word that we need to shut up now.
Why are we both Chris?
Because, like, Al's more normal. My favorite thing about Al is that when he talks, you can never see his top teeth.
Yeah.
He might not have top
yeah,
teeth.
Yeah, Pat Fitzgerald,
Chris.
I noticed this weekend.
I'm doing
the Northwestern broadcast, he does that too.
Yeah, it's like, so does Bob Costas. It's like an old school broadcaster thing.
Pat Fitzgerald's not a broadcaster. He's just like an older guy. I think it's just
maybe
an older
all,
guy thing.
Maybe no old dudes show their teeth when they talk.
Maybe. We'll have to do some stats.
All right.
Research on that.
Yep, we'll get back to you with those numbers. Number three... This does make me want to throw my ball.
Same.
Which is Greg Williams, interim head coach of the Browns, who we went off on last week. talking about how he got dozens of job offers since leaving Buffalo.
Yeah.
Where he was he the defensive coordinator of Buffalo too?
No, wasn't he the head coach?
I have no idea.
Yeah, he was like, he said, since I left Buffalo, I had 11 letters to interview for head coaching jobs. Four of them didn't even have to interview, just show up and sign the contract.
Which, ooh, was that like, was that for peewee teams? It, like, did, like, sure, dude, you can coach my son's Pop Warner. Just like, we'll go to Arby's, you can sign the check, we'll consider it a contract.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like when you're graduating from college and mm-hmm. all your friends' parents are like, so what are your plans for next year? And you're like, well, I've gotten a lot of offers. None of them were really the right fit.
I'm just like waiting it out.
I'm just waiting for the right opportunity. A lot of companies, though, have been, you know, they really want me to work there.
They're like going to create a position for me, but, and it's all the jobs are like, you can come back and babysit for my kids again this summer. Anyway,
and then he said this, which is hilarious, very problematic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Baker Mayfield and Pat Mahomes played against each other. This is another like quarterback versus quarterback thing that everyone was like, oh, like Baker versus Mahomes.
Yeah, and we also and had it's Saints, Rams with like Breeze and Goff, and they just tried to make quarterback matchups a thing, which there were some good games.
They're a thing-ish, but anyway. Not as much as no.
Right.
Anyway, so it's like Browns Chiefs though, so you know.
Those are not two comparable teams right now.
But everyone was talking about when Baker Mayfield and Pat Mahomes played against each other in 2006 when they were both, when Baker Mayfield was at Oklahoma and Pat Mahomes was at Texas Tech. And the final score of the game was 66-59. It was like the most Big 12 game of all time. There was zero defense played. Pat Mahomes threw 88 pass attempts.
Are you kidding me?
And had 734 yards of offense.
Like, that's
and Baker Mayfield like threw like seven touchdowns and had like 600 yards. It was a batshit crazy. It was literally just back and forth. Like
the defense just sat on the bench when they were supposed to be on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Pac-12 defenses aren't known for playing existing. But Greg Williams, someone asked him about it. And he said, I don't want to say it, but typically I talk about cutting my wrists on those kinds of things, setting defenses back 1,000 years.
Which, like, oh, whoa. My God. Dude, did he, like, it's like, hello, sir, do you know you're on the record? Yeah.
Like, he just does not give a single shit.
Have you heard of the record? Because you're on it. No, I mean, it doesn't crack me up. This is actually, like, pretty bleak. But, you know, you have guys like Belichick who hate the media and who deal with it by not saying anything, and then you have guys like Greg Williams who hate the media and deal with it by talking about bleeding out on the podium. And I'm like, okay, maybe we just like
Greg Williams is like one of the most problematic head coaches in like recent NFL history, and I'm here to watch it crash and burn, man.
Here we are. All right, number two, I'm gonna let you take the lead on this one.
Oh yeah, the college football ranking situation. So the first ranking came out a week ago.
This is a testament to how much I care about you as a co-host that I'm willing to let you put this second because I really don't care.
Nothing makes me want to throw my phone. Well, one thing, couple things.
This makes me want to throw my phone. This is number for you,
right? This is number two because I want to throw my phone. But I'm also not, like, pissed to the core like the other two things.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we'll get to that.
College football ranking came out last Tuesday night. And it just invites so many people. There should not be – I get why there is a ranking, like, this early in the season. It's mostly for, like, ratings purposes, mm-hmm. I think. But it doesn't matter until, like, the second to last – like, there's still the AP poll. Like, we don't need the college football playoff committee to – rank teams for us in October.
Here are the rank. I also so feel like stupid. They kind of just need something to do or they want to feel important.
Exactly. I think that's all it is because it doesn't matter. And all it does is invites all of these fucking idiots to talk about the rankings on TV who have watched like only their team or like their conference play all season. So like LSU is ranked number 3, which fine. I really don't give a shit. But
what was the ranking? Was it Alabama, Clemson, LSU,
Notre Dame, and then like Michigan. And so Michigan was 5. Notre Dame's undefeated and beat Michigan, who's number 5, but they were below LSU, who was had one loss to Florida, who was like number 10.
Right. If you
so
do,
like, it just clear
the transitive property here. It's just like the math doesn't.
It doesn't. But I don't care that I'm not mad because Notre Dame was ranked 4. I don't really care what their ranking is, but it's just like so. It's so irritating listening to this argument. It just goes around in circles for the rest of the season, and it makes me. I'm like, well, shut up. Like, just, like, let them play.
Let the kids play.
Let the kids play. And no. It's just so annoying. And
well,
so
to
then,
me, the LSU thing is because they needed to make a big deal about LSU playing Alabama this weekend. Well, so yeah, they were like, well, we'll put it third so that...
A lot of people were saying that, but that game was on CBS. Like, it wasn't on ESPN.
Oh, that's a good
point. And the
College
Football Playoff Committee isn't even, like... They're, like, loosely affiliated with ESPN. I don't know if, like...
There's wonder if someone's like, getting, like, paid off to be, like...
Right. A lot of people believe that there is, like, a conspiracy between... And not even, like, a lot of people. Probably, like, every college football fan.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
In a nation of conspiracy theories.
James Carville on ESPN was talking about... He was like, well, the SEC is, like, you know...
Right, because ESPN owns, like, the SEC network.
Right, and then they had to apologize to the SEC. And I was like, you know what? Grow up, Aaron. Like, come on. Anyway.
Anyways. So, LSU... In Alabama, Charlotte was like, I'm so excited for this LSU-Alabama game. Because it's like on paper, it's like, oh, number one versus number three. Wow.
And Death Valley at night. Like, it's exciting.
No. I texted her back and I was like, why? Yeah, I was like kind of bitchy about it. I was like, why are you excited?
No. You didn't say that. I texted you. I was like, actually kind of excited for this Alabama-LSU game. And you go, I'm not. And I was like, Jesus. I was like, I just mean, you know, I'm excited until like the first 10 seconds and then Alabama steam. Like the idea of being excited about this was enough to be excited about it. And then the first quarter was close.
I mean, Tua got hit in the balls. Oh my really God. Really hard.
Dude, so I was at a bar watching this and I saw Tua go down and I was like, oh no, is he hurt? And one of my guy friends was like, definitely got hit in the balls. And I was like, what? And he was like, you can tell by the way he's like rolling around. Yeah. And then they do the slow motion replay and it's a helmet to his nuts.
The freeze frame, someone posted like a freeze frame. I don't know if it's like kosher to laugh. Is this sexist towards men?
Right. Like, are we being, is Sports Illustrated writer Charlotte Wilder .. sexist towards men?
Someone posted a freeze frame and the LSU player was moving like so fast that he was like a blur and Tua was just standing still and the helmet was just, it was so bad.
During this?
It was so bad. But he came back in the game and he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
We're all, this is in good faith.
Right. Like we're not laughing about someone getting hurt. I just, and I do feel bad. It's just like, you can't ever tell me someone got hit in the ball. Like that sentence is funny to me. I'm sorry. And also like as a woman, I'm like, you know what? The patriarchy, yes, like it's all bad, but like at least I will never have to get hit in the balls. But I said that to my friend and she was like, well, I mean, if you have kids someday, you're going to have to give birth. That seems worse. And I was like, fair. I was like, all right, still can't win. Anyway, the number one thing.
Two.
Actually, we have two things, again, tied for number one. I feel like we do this a lot.
We do.
But that's fine.
One is a more serious thing.
We're like
thing.
The Browns. We love to tie.
One is a more serious thing that actually makes us want to throw our phones. And so, one is like a more light levity, you know, we are irritated, but we don't want to kill other people.
Yes. Yeah, so we're gonna do the fun one second. The first one that really actually, and like we're not serious a lot, but this actually was... pretty awful this week is
there were a lot of really bad takes on TV
and like that's nothing new there are all of the time but this week we were kind of shocked by the it's like every day I would open up Twitter and there would be a new moronic thing that someone had said.
So first
we're gonna run through them.
So first DJ Durkin was the head coach at Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't following that, in a nutshell, a Maryland player died because of
this
negligence
summer.
From the coaching and training staff, and the Board of Regents decided to reinstate the head coach at Maryland.
Right. There was like a months of sort of investigation, but they were being really cagey with the media and wouldn't say what happened. And then they were like, so DJ's back.
Yeah. And so then people were obviously really mad. A bunch of players were vocal about it, which is really impressive.
I was impressed.
And then they decided to fire the head coach a day after reinstating him. And Tim Tebow, this was his take.
Oh, my God.
You need to come together. You need to get all the facts. You need to look at it. You need to get all the decision makers in that room. And you need to make a decision. You need to stand with it. Because right now it shows like people are so afraid to have conviction to believe in something when they make a decision that they're like, oh, my goodness, social media is against us. Where we're going to fire him now. You just made a decision to keep him.
Hold me back.
Like if that's your decision, if you believe that's what's right for the program, then it shouldn't matter what I say. It shouldn't matter what social media says.
It shouldn't matter.
But so many people, they want to be liked instead of being respected. And I think more universities need to stand by what they believe is right. I'm not saying their decision was right, but...
Okay. Referring to social media, like, it's not, like, a group of people with, like, opinions, and it's just, like, a nebulous thing that is, like...
Right.
I don't know.
It's, like, no...
Obviously, I'm not. Social media sucks a lot, but it's...
The thing is... even Tebow's face doing this, he looks like he's a little bit dead in the eyes. It literally looks like he just needed to have an opinion. And I'm like, if the hill you want to die on is that you should stick to your awful convictions, because at least you'll have convictions. Like, this is something that drives me crazy about politics. When people, I remember it when there was Mitt Romney running, they were like, well, he's a flip-flopper, or like some, you know, I was not a Mitt Romney guy, but like there was, I didn't like this narrative of like, oh, if you change your mind, it means you're weak. I was like, no, it just means you're taking in information and making an informed decision.
Right.
Like, and what?
Yeah, no, all of it's just bad. And so this was only like the first of these shitty takes. Next, we had Derrick Rose, who scored 50 points against the Jazz. And
he's on the Timberwolves now. He was on the Bulls, blah, blah, blah.
Derrick Rose has been accused of rape and was in court 2 years ago over a civil lawsuit against him by a woman. She was accusing him and two of his friends of raping her. And he was found not liable, which is not really the same as being found not guilty. And it's not a criminal trial, but she's appealing the decision. And even if you think that she made it up during the trial, he admitted that he doesn't know what the word consent means.
Which is troubling.
Yeah.
To say the least.
To say the least. And he kind of showed that he is a little bit of
Didn't he say something like, when you go over to a woman's house, like, you're assuming you're going to have sex with her? Like,
basically, yeah. It did not look good for him. And then he posed for pictures with the jury afterwards, which was a very questionable decision. So anyways, this, after he scored 50 points, this is what the Timberwolves...
And he it was sort of like marketed as his comeback game or whatever. And
right.
Here's a clip of the audio from that game.
He's got a lot of stuff going on off the court. And I'm not a judge and I'm not a jury. And to my estimation, he's not been convicted of anything. But what he is a hard... He plays hard. He is a gutty basketball player.
There are ways to talk about athletes achieving things on the court that don't also conflate legal problems with their accomplishments. And I think that we as a society need to do a lot better than that, because that is bullshit.
Totally. I mean, I think that something that a lot of people struggle with is, you know, if you have athletes who've done awful things off the court or been accused, like whatever it is, like I think that, you know, you don't want to, it's a fine line between like vilifying them forever and giving second chances, and how do you navigate that? And there are a lot of very smart people who have written a lot of very smart things about this. And, you know, I don't have those answers, but but there is a way to do it that I know for sure is better than that.
Yeah. And lastly, Michael Irvin, who is another guy who has been accused of like sexual assault like three different times. He stabbed one of his teammates. He's on TV all the time. He's on NFL Network. He's on ESPN.
He played for the Cowboys in the 90s.
Yeah, he was like a famous.
Yeah, he's like
he's in
his 50s now.
Hall of Fame,
like, and he always faces off with Stephen A. on First Take.
Yeah, so he had like a super viral video go around on Monday of him on First Take in Dallas, which we're playing a clip from now.
Like Donald Summers or somebody is just noise. Are you crazy? Dak Prescott is a big time player.
Now, if the Cowboys, team had this kind of passion, they'd have a winning record.
Oh, Coach, I'm sweating. I'm sweating around here.
So what you can't see is he's dripping with sweat.
Yeah, he's just screaming. And it's like, oh my, like, why is he still on TV? So this, after this happened on Monday, this old clip went around, which is just like, we'll play audio from it now.
This is from 2011.
And I got more slants with a guy that had only been here 1 week. I have a problem with that. I should have been running slants with a guy that sits in back of Peyton Manning and learned from Peyton Manning. Oh my God, this is what's wrong with today. The young ladies today, they're not learning from mom how to cook. We're losing recipes. And now we're going to lose. Peyton Manning's not.
We're losing recipes. I mean, he's right. God. Like, I don't cook as much as I should. I'll be the first to admit it. But
no, it's just like, there are so many hot take artists on TV that just have to always yell and scream. And I think maybe like they're being told that yelling and screaming is good for ratings. I know I would not be watching a clip from First Take if Michael Irvin wasn't yelling
exactly.
and screaming.
Exactly. And because unfortunately it is. It works.
It works. Like we're talking about it right now.
This is the Fox News model. This is CNN.
Yeah.
Like it's I think that it originated with sports media probably. Like the other networks probably learn from them.
And it's just getting a little, like, we just need to all do better.
We are a pro nuance podcast. Yeah. I almost called us a podcake. The recipes stuck in my head. Yeah.
Losing recipes.
We're losing recipes. Anyway, the lighter number one thing that makes us want to throw our phones is, I mean, it's actually darker because it's daylight savings time.
Yeah.
Or is it daylight saving time?
Daylight's saving or daylight savings?
Daylight saving.
Daylight saving.
Is there a plural situation?
The daylight
anywhere?
Was not saved.
The daylight was lost.
Was lost.
We lost the daylight. Everyone on the weekend of daylight savings is like, oh, we get another hour. Mm-hmm. Like, we can sleep in. Blah. And I was like, look, that hour that we get on one fall weekend is not worth the months of soul-crushing darkness.
Yeah.
That stretch ahead of us.
I will admit, I was very excited Saturday night to have my extra hour of sleep, to the point that I convinced myself that if I went out and went to a few bars, I would not be hungover Sunday morning because we get an extra hour.
Whoa, wait, sorry, what?
You
equated one more hour with less
just
of
like
a
not
hangover.
Being hungover.
Jess, you are one of the smartest people I know. And
I'm so stupid.
Yeah, that is some mental gymnastics.
I'm so dumb. I hate myself.
You're not so dumb. You're very smart, but that's really impressive.
But I was still hungover on Sunday.
Oh.
It's okay.
I
sent Charlotte a text.
Oh my god. This is what
we
had to tell you. Wait, can I tell this
one?
This was such a moment for me. So it was like Thursday or Friday, and Jess texts me, DLS is on Saturday. And I wrote back, I was like, who's DLS? And she was like, what? Daylight savings. And I was like, oh my god. I thought DLS was a sports person from the past, that like an abbreviation for someone's name that I didn't know, and that he was going to be on college
like
game
MJD.
Day on Saturday. Like, I thought DLS was like Daniel Lewis
yeah.
Stevenson
so
was going to be on college game
it's
day.
It's also my fault because I texted my sister about and said DLS. I was like, my sister lives in Madagascar, which is
super cool.
Yeah, but anyways, I texted her and I said, does Madagascar have DLS? And she said, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, why? And I was like, because we're going to be in the same, like, 7-hour difference. And she's like, oh, I thought you meant, like, the shipping company DHL. And I was like, no, daylight savings. She's like, no, we don't have daylight savings.
Well, also, I then told my mom that I had messed that up, that I thought that you texted me that and I thought it was a person. She was like, oh, when you said DLS, I thought that was like a sports conference. I didn't know. So the apple doesn't fall
it's
far.
It's my fault for abbreviating a thing.
Also,
I
asked you
everything.
Who, like, I have holes in my sports knowledge. Like, I've always loved sports, but until the past few years, I haven't been following it terribly closely. And so there are these big gaps in, like, my mm-hmm. historical knowledge that I've had to fill in. And so I'm always sort of assuming that I have fucked something up. Like, when I asked you who Jim Kelly was and everyone's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, look, I am trying my best
I'm trying
here.
Jennifer.
Yeah, I'm trying Jennifer. So yeah, that's our rundown this week. I think that we had some pretty
phone throwable moments.
Yeah. I have a fun story about toothbrushes before we do this ad read, which is that I brushed my teeth in the shower this morning. It was like a shower beer, but it was a shower toothbrush.
I think people do that, like, often. I don't.
Well, it felt very exotic to me. All right, the burst sonic toothbrush. Did you know, Jess, that the average person only brushes for 45 to 70 seconds?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, the recommended brushing time is 2 minutes.
That's a long time.
I know, but it's the right thing to do. And the burst, kind of like voting, the burst sonic toothbrush has a built-in 2-minute timer to help you reach the magic number.
Magic number.
Also, fun fact, first toothbrushes were tree twigs.
That doesn't sound like it would clean anything.
Nope. Feels like it might make your mouth dirtier, but thank God for the Burst Sonic toothbrush because it is best known for its charcoal-infused super soft bristles.
Wow.
The charcoal removes surface stains, and it's antimicrobial, which is a hard word to say, and helps keep the bristles hygienic for the lifetime of the brush head.
First toothbrush head specifically designed for sonic vibrations, proven to remove plaque and stains without damaging enamel or your gums.
I'm picking up good vibrations. Most powerful motor on the market at 33,000 RPM.
Is that like an RPO?
Yeah, Chris Collinsworth loves these toothbrushes. It's the longest battery life with up to 4 weeks use on just 1 hour of charging.
It's fucking wild.
Anyway, so you guys should all go to burstoralcare.com to get your Burst Sonic toothbrush today. With the Burst subscription program, you'll get a new replacement head every 3 months for just $6 each. And if you use our code at checkout,
MVP.
You will also get 10% off your order, which is a sick deal. So that's burstoralcare.com with code MVP for 10% off. Don't miss out on this special offer. It's also a great gift idea. I hear the holidays are coming up.
Yeah, it's also good, like, if your significant other has horrible dental hygiene, just to be like, hey, I got you this toothbrush subscription.
Like, look at this nice gift from me to myself.
Maybe you should brush your teeth now.
That's, again, burstoralcare.com, and don't forget the code MVP. Do the right thing, MVPs. So we have some segments this week, which producer Matt just called unprotected segs, and I almost fell off my chair. Some personal news.
Yeah, so I was in Clemson this weekend for a hysterical Clemson-Louisville game. Jesus. The fact that both of those teams even exist in the same division of football and are also in the same conference.
What was the final score?
77-16.
That is.
And my friend's dad would not let us leave till Clemson put up 80. And Clemson, if they didn't take Trevor Lawrence out and all of their first and second stringers out in the third quarter, could have scored 200 points.
I have never heard of a football score that high.
It was like the most AC points in an ACC game since like the 90s. It was like, it was so bad. Like, the Louisville is so bad. It was hilarious.
My God.
But anyways, I think it was great. So I had, this is like a little bit of a rant. I was watching football with some people on this weekend, and I was the only woman there, and I got into one of those things where like, all of the men start talking amongst themselves about like sports, and they won't like make eye contact with me.
Oh my God, kill me.
And I'm like sitting there, and I'm like, they're not like, none of these people, like only a couple of them are people that I'm actually friends with. So like they probably just assume that I don't know sports, let alone like work at Sports Illustrated and also have a sports podcast. Right. Not that that matters, because
and produce my sports show.
It's just polite to like include everyone in the conversation.
Right.
Anyways, but I was just sitting there and I was like, I am going to freak the fuck out. They were just, it was so obnoxious.
I mean,
I hate when that happens, and it happens all the time.
And the worst part is when dudes are talking about sports and they're wrong, but they won't let you get a word
in
edgewise.
This dude's like ranting about South Carolina football, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Didn't he say that like South Carolina was better than Clemson?
No, like not quite. But
he didn't like not say it.
He did not. Well, yeah, Clemson could pop. Clemson could probably score 100 points on South Carolina. I think they would. I think.
For sure.
I think they might. I think that they should.
That's like the time it was 4th of July 2016, and I spent all day writing about how Kevin Durant went to the Warriors, and then I went to a 4th of July party, and some dude found out I worked in sports and then explained to me why Kevin Durant went to the Warriors. And I was like, not today,
this
Satan.
Happens to me every fucking day of my life.
Yeah.
I also have a really gross story. Can I tell you?
Yeah, tell me.
This happened to me at dinner Sunday night. I was in Charlotte.
I'm a little nervous.
And so I ordered a salad because I'm allergic to bread. And all I eat is salad when I go out to dinner in the South, because everything there is fried and on bread. So I was like eating my salad. There was a hair in it. And I was like, ugh, this is gross. But it was a blonde, like long blonde hair. So I was like, okay, it could be my hair.
I'm like feeling ill.
This isn't even the bad part. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just not going to eat anymore. I'm not even that hungry, whatever. Like, I have to get on a flight in an hour and I don't want to be like full. It's fine. So I just didn't eat anymore. So then I'm eating fries off my friend's plate because like I'm a girl and that's what we do. And I pick up a fry and there is like a black hair on it. And I'm like, okay, that one's not mine. And I'm like, I dip it in my ranch and like pick it out of the ranch notice the hair. And I'm like, oh God.
So it was like the ranch is like sticking to the hair.
Yeah, I just leave it in the ranch. I just like leave my fry there. Like 10 minutes later, this guy sitting across from me who I'm not friends with, I do not know this person's name. He's like, are you going to eat that? Picks up the fry before I can even say anything. Picks the fry out of the ranch and shoves it in his mouth and eats it. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I was like, should I say something? I was like, I don't know.
Did you say something?
No, I just let him do it.
You're like, exclude me from the sports conversation one more time.
I let him eat the disgusting tossing ranch fry with the hair.
That's...
I felt so bad. No, he didn't deserve it. It was sad. It was
sorry. That was sad.
Charlotte.
I was like,
it was so disgusting. But I didn't want to make a big deal out of it because there's nothing worse than being at dinner and someone like doesn't like their meal or something and you feel awkward about like.
Well, also like once you've already eaten the hair, like what are you gonna do?
I know. And I was just like, oh my god.
You actually did a kindness to him.
Is he gonna feel the hair in his mouth and say something or is he just gonna and he just swallowed it like. It was so fucking gross.
That's disgusting.
I couldn't tell anyone. You're the first person I've told.
And now the rest of all of our MVP
VPs. If anyone who
VPs.
I was at dinner with on Sunday listens to this, they're going to be so mad at me.
Well, I hope they do listen
to it. Sorry, guys.
Anyways. Okay, my personal news is that I went to Pedro Martinez's foundation's gala.
Wow.
In Boston. Fancy. And I was all dressed up and I was meeting two other people there and we were going to go to this hotel bar before and I grew up in Boston. Everybody knows that. Sorry. I lived there for 4 years after college. And so I have like my favorite bars and they were like, meet us at this hotel bar. And I was like, okay, well that's where people I know used to go try to pick up like older men, but that's fine. And I'm almost there and I get a text. It's like the fire alarm just went off. Everybody's evacuating. And I was like, oh, classic. Sick. We are going to my favorite bar, which is the Sevens in Beacon Hill. It's this dive. And, but it is not a place that you wear fancy clothes. And it's 5 p.m. on a Friday. And I just stroll in like stilettos in my Gap, which like I'm most comfortable in like Dirtbag Wilder mode.
Dirtbag Wilder is my favorite Charlotte.
Is she?
Like, yeah, between like Charlotte and like your Aunt Char and Dirtbag Wilder. Like, Dirtbag Wilder is the one I most want to hang out with.
She's like fun. Dirtbag Wilder is fun.
Dirtbag Wilder, I see a little bit of myself in.
Oh, yeah.
In
for
a good
sure.
way.
But you can take me, you can like put me in nice clothes.
You
but
can
like,
dress her up, but you can't
change
her. Out.
You can't change her. What does this say? You can put lipstick on a pig.
But it still tastes like bacon. I don't know. I don't know what the saying is.
That's our new
that's
thing.
That's not it.
Anyway, so we go to this thing, and the one funny anecdote. First of all, I'm not going to say why I think this, but I think that there's a good chance Corey Kluber could, who pitches for the Indians right now, I think there's a chance he ends up on the Red Sox next
Someone
year.
Someone call Ken Rosenthal right now.
I'm just
because
saying.
This is a scoop.
This is a scoop, and it's completely, well, it's not completely, but it's like mostly unfounded. So,
but so if it happens, credit to Charlotte. If it doesn't happen, Charlotte said that it was
maybe not going to happen. But if it happens, it's definitely, I'm the one who said it first.
Yes.
But I was talking to Eduardo Nunez, who in game 3 of the World Series, which was that marathon game,
yes,
they went to 18.
He stayed up till 3 a.m.
Yeah, and he just kept falling over, and I was like, I had like some wine, and I was like, hey man, you couldn't stand up during game 3. And he thought it was funny, and he started laughing, and he was like, I was so sore. He was like, I went to Alex Cora, the Sox manager. He was like, I went to Alex, and I was like, you gotta take me out. And he was like, I can't take you out. We got no one else. So he just like kept playing, and he said he was very excited to go lie on a beach in the Dominican Republic. And I was
aww,
like, man,
aren't we all?
I wish I could say the same, but I'm going back to New York forever. So anyway, oh, also some personal news. Colby College, men's soccer team, my alma mater. Colby College, men's soccer, won the NESCAC, which is our New England Small College Association College Conference.
Congrats, Colby,
yeah,
men's soccer.
They won. Woo! let's move on.
Should we call Aunt Char?
Yeah, I feel like we got it. She's going to get mad if we don't call her.
Hello, Jessica.
Hi, Aunt Char.
I have a question.
Okay.
Why is Charlotte never on the phone when I call you?
She has, like...
Does she not want to talk to me? Is she avoiding
bladder
me?
Bladder problem. She's just never... Sorry, I'm just kidding. She doesn't like you. Anyways, I have some questions for you, Aunt Char.
I am so ready.
So my sister just got engaged.
Oh my god, congrats to Deb. Also, isn't a coincidence that your sister's name is Deb and Charlotte's mother's name is Deb?
We gotta get the Debs together
we
one day.
We should call both Debs at some
we
point.
We should.
All right. I mean, that you should.
So my sister just got engaged, and I know that you've been married a few times.
Oh, have I ever?
Do you have any marriage advice for her?
Well, I mean, clearly it didn't work out very well for me, so I'm not sure I would call it advice. I will say, if he has more money than you do, don't sign the prenup if you have more money than he does. Not many people know this. I was a buyer for Chanel for some time. I was a big deal in the fashion world. And when I married my third husband, I was making way more than he was. And so I was like, Steven, if you don't sign the prenup, this is not going
to
happen.
You were married to Steven Tyler?
I mean, I didn't want to say it, but now that the cat's out of the bag, Steven Tyler was my third husband. Anyway, it clearly didn't work out. So I would say, you know, I don't know, something about trust.
Sign a prenup.
Like, trust
okay.
each other.
And sign a prenup.
And sign a prenup. Unless and he has more money than you do, in which case, don't sign the prenup.
My sister was also wondering, she lives very far away from my family, so she won't be home for Thanksgiving.
Oh, tragic.
She was wondering, how do you politely invite yourself over to a friend's Thanksgiving if you aren't going home?
Oh my, this is my wheel. Inviting myself to things is something I am
oh,
really...
Oh, we know.
Oh, yeah, so I'm really good at that. I would say, you know, be like, hey, hello, I am not, you know, open the conversation with something about how you're not going home and you're going to be a little homesick, and then be like, oh, what are you guys doing? And when they say, be like, you know, not to impose, but I make a killer, you fill in the blank, like a green bean casserole. I make a killer green bean casserole. I listened to your last podcast. I took issue with that. and be like, I would love to come, you know, bring some wine, just bribe them with alcohol, and just sort of make it a sort of organic, natural thing and offer a lot up in exchange for being able to be there.
Oh, that's good advice, Amshar. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. I have to go. Steven is calling me. He will not stop calling me. You know, they leave you, and all of a sudden, they want you back. So
okay, we'll talk to you later. I'll tell Charlotte you said hi.
All right, talk to you next week.
Bye.
Sometimes I like.
I don't know what's coming out of your mouth, and no, I'm scared.
It's actually. Sometimes my own brain terrifies me. Okay. It's time for True Gritty, Chapter 3. Quick recap. We left 10-year-old Gritty on the street with Oscar the Grouch last time we spoke. Do you speak
read.
To people? Last time we read. And Oscar the Grouch's agent Scooter had just told Gritty that Gritty showed real promise. And so we are going to pick back up there. True Gritty, Chapter 3, A Dream is Born. Scooter and Oscar got into the tiny little black car together and zoomed off to the hair and makeup studio. Oscar had a big shoot at his can that day. The writers of Sesame Street hadn't been writing him into the script, and finally he had some screen time again. A few weeks before, Oscar had put a banana peel next to the desk of the showrunner because he was mad that they weren't giving him enough lines. So the writers wrote Oscar out altogether. Scooter was in town to help smooth things over, which they'd been able to do the day before by showing up at the office with an edible arrangement. Gritty sat on the stoop. Scooter's words echoed in his head, "You could be somebody." When Gritty's parents, Sweetums and Big Red, got home that night, Gritty dared share his dream at dinner. He cleared his throat. "Guys, I want to..." He paused. "You want what, sweetie?" Sweetums asked. I want to be a mascot," Gritty said softly. Sweetums put his fork down and looked at his plate. Big Red choked on the Cheeto he'd been eating. No one spoke for a while as Big Red coughed. Gritty looked imploringly at both of them. "We worked so hard in this business so that you wouldn't have to," Sweetums said.
Is that Pat Mahomes?
That's not helping. "This is a hard life. We wanted you to become a doctor, a lawyer, something respectable. Just because you're a monster doesn't mean you have to let people capitalize on your looks and make you a spectacle. You're a smart little boy, Gritty. Don't be like us. Now finish your Cheetos and go do your homework." Gritty stared down at his plates and pushed the Cheetos around. "I'm not hungry anymore," he said. Big Red started to say something, but Gritty got up without waiting to be excused, left the can, slammed the lid shut, and wandered off into the night.
Thank you, David Attenborough, for that reading of Chapter 3, True Gritty.
You're so welcome. Also, in Gritty news this week, I cry laughed a lot this week.
Yes, you did.
For all of the awful things that happened, some really funny things happened. One of them was Kim Kardashian posted a picture of her in a bikini, and it was like still in a Belize or like wherever
she was. Still in a tropical state of mind, but don't worry, I'll be posting Halloween pics later. And Gritty on Twitter just responded, "Can't wait!" Exclamation point.
I was so thirsty.
But it also, it's just like, thinking of Gritty sitting there waiting for Kim K to, like, post more pictures.
It's believable.
Oh, I can't wait
for sports teams to start making copycat Gritty mascots.
Same, but there is only one True Gritty.
I know, and it's going to be terrible.
Gritty. I love Gritty. Like, I just stare at pictures of Gritty, and I'm like, I love this thing so much.
We know.
Okay.
Anyways.
Is it sports?
Yeah.
This week's debate is the New York Times election needle.
Yeah, so it's this thing that the New York Times has where it's like a needle and it goes from like blue to red.
Mm-hmm.
And the needle position on the little thingy tells you like who's winning the election.
Mm-hmm.
And people like live and die by the needle. Like if the needle's like pointed all the way one way and then something happened in 2016 and then the needle goes, like people freak out over the needle.
There was some like post-election stress disorder from the needle alone. So,
but they brought it back this year. So,
Sports? One, can you write about it on a sports website? I mean, not really.
No.
Is it competitive?
Yes, yeah, extremely.
Do people watch it for fun?
I don't know.
I mean, like, not for fun, but you watch. It's kind of like
it's
sports
compelling
in that you're terrified.
Well, it's like it's exactly like the ESPN like win probability thing.
Yes,
on the ESPN app. Where
you know,
it's like,
I feel like we don't have to really run through any more options. Like it's sports.
It's sports.
The New York Times. It's not fun sports though. it's like your team is in the championship and they have a history of blowing it, and you're watching, and like stress eating. Triscuits. Which that's how bad it is. You're stress eating Triscuits.
Not gluten free, so I can't relate. Should we call Deb?
Yeah, let's call Deb.
Hello.
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 How are you?
Hey, Jess. Hi, Char.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Where are you right now?
I am in my office. Ooh. And I just wanted to tell you, I know it's going to rain, but never mind. Oh, I wanted to tell you, Bunder, that I was thrilled that Man of War's grandson, Gritty, made the New York Times.
Gritty was in the, oh, yeah. I saw, I didn't like that article.
About the Antifa?
Yeah, it was, is Gritty.
How come?
Well, because I felt like, I just let Gritty be Gritty.
Well,
I know.
Feel like if
I mean,
Gritty
we're still learning who Gritty is, right?
Yeah, he's still coming into his own.
I feel like the Gritty Kim K tweet doesn't fit the Antifa narrative.
No. Did I tell you?
Gritty, you know, Gritty's a kid. He has to decide who he is.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting.
Anyway, what do you want to talk about this week?
Well, I have to tell you, I was all fired up about the New York Marathon.
Oh.
Because I love marathons.
Why do you love marathons so much? I agree, but I want to hear your...
Well, the first marathon I went to, of course, was the Boston Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And there I am on Comm Ave in Boston, in Brookline, I guess, maybe, looking at these unbelievably beautiful people just running down the street like a herd of antelopes or gazelles or wildebeest. And not cars. It was so beautiful.
Oh, I love when cars aren't on the street also.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I love that part. But I love...
And then you get the people who aren't as beautiful, but who are trying so hard.
Oh, and who are trying so hard. And we used to go to Wellesley where mm-hmm. they've been running for 10 miles uphill.
I cry every time I go to a marathon.
God, I cry every time I think about
too.
Running a marathon. It sounds fucking terrible.
Yeah, well, that's
Excuse
the
me.
Other part. You know, sort of a week before every marathon, I think, gee, I could do that. So I get out and I try to run a couple of miles.
How does that go?
Well, that part goes okay, but then I think I have to do that again.
I know the thing
and
about
I have to do it like 10 times.
Yeah, no. My best friend just ran the Chicago Marathon, and she told me that she thought she was gonna die.
Yeah,
and she couldn't decide if she should just like lay down in the middle of the road and just like die because she felt so awful.
No.
And some guy came and started running with her, and then he like had to stop, and she just left him there and like had to keep going.
God.
It sounded miserable. It sounded like she literally thought she was going to die.
Well, is she gonna run another one?
She said she would. No, like never in a million Definitely. Years would she ever do it again.
That's how I feel.
But I don't know, Char. Maybe one day you and I should decide to train for a marathon.
No, so here's my...
On the moon.
Yeah. I think about that where I'm like, you know, I run I run a fair amount, not to brag. I'm in fantastic shape. That part's not true. But I think I do think about it every time I see one. And I think that me training for a marathon would last maybe 2.5 weeks because it takes so much time.
Right.
You have to run a lot for hours.
A short run is 10 miles, and I don't know. But, you know, this thing about marathons, what I have to tell you, what really interested me, and the first thing you said about marathon was dying. So I started thinking, whoa, that's the story of how the first marathon happened. The legend is that the Greeks won a battle against the Persians. Actually, it happened in 490 BCE.
Ooh,
and they had runners in those days. They didn't have pigeons. They just had people who ran.
The way we do now.
So the guy, right. So they send this guy, and he runs from Marathon to Athens, which is about 26.3 miles, tells everybody, we won, and drops dead.
Well, right,
which turns out,
sorry, go
that's
on.
Not true. It's just not true.
He didn't die?
But no. Well, let me tell you the story. First of all, the point of the Battle of Marathon is huge because this was the first time Athens had just become a democracy.
Oh.
It had decided that it was going to be ruled a consensus rule. The people, the demos, was going to run the city.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this Persian king, Darius, who was an expansionist, probably a megalomaniac. And he just went around eating up all the territory he could. And he looks at this little city, and he says, I can take that. I can take the Greeks. So they gather together. And the runner they send is a guy named Pheidippides, and the Athenians send him before the battle to Sparta, which is like 100 miles away.
This is ultra marathon.
He runs to Sparta, an ultra marathon. He runs to Sparta saying, guys, we need your help. And the Spartans say, sorry, we're having a religious festival. We're going to party for the next couple of days.
Relatable.
Maybe then we'll come and help you.
True.
I mean, you can understand. So he goes back. The Athenians win anyway. It turns out that this is the beginning of the great and glorious Athenian democracy, which is the classical
age. I think I see where you're going with this.
The whole army runs from Marathon to Athens because they don't want the Persians to come around the bend and attack by water.
Oh.
And it occurs to me, and they were going to be damned if they let some king wreck their democracy.
Boom.
So where do you think I'm going? What's today?
Election day.
Election day.
Are you going to tell everyone to vote?
I'm going to tell everybody to vote.
I love it.
Yeah.
That was an incredible.
Are you going to think so too, maybe?
What?
Are you going to tell everybody to vote too?
Yes.
We already did.
Oh, good. So I'm telling you again.
I love it.
Thanks,
that's a
guys.
That's a fantastic story. I mean,
thank you.
I think that we should all
not
refer back to Greek history
and
myths more often.
Well, there are a lot of lessons there. They were pretty realistic.
True.
They said, this is our best shot. Let's give it a try.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
You are the best.
I love you both.
I'll call you later.
Oh, love you too.
A marathon.
Yeah, let's never run a marathon.
No.
Let's make a podcast pact to never run a marathon.
It's the deal. Are you in, Jess?
Oh, yes, I'm not running a marathon ever.
All right. Love you.
Okay.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Oh, history lesson.
Yeah, she bought me like a lot of Greek myths for kids books when I was growing up.
It's precious.
I know a lot about them. Now I know more. Ask a youth, Jess. My question to you this week is, what are Fortnite skins? Because it just sounds really dirty to me.
Sounds like.
Yeah, that's not. We don't have to say
the
it.
Penis word. Fortnite is a video game where you can wear a different skin, which is like what your little character wears. And
why don't they call it clothes?
Because it's not
Fortnite clothes.
I don't know. There's probably a reason for it that I don't know. But they're called skins. It's like, you know, when you put like a skin on like your phone, like some.
Yeah, or like
skins.
A car.
Yeah.
No, that's a wrap. Sorry, whatever.
NFL now is letting you wear like NFL uniforms though, which is like the most relatable, like youthful pro kids thing that NFL's ever done.
Seriously, it's like someone in the NFL is under the age of 30, maybe.
Maybe.
In the front office being like, actually, no, not even. You know what? It could be like even just like old marketing people being like, I've seen the word Fortnite being tossed around a lot.
How do we get in on that?
Can we do something with that? Also, speaking of skins, did you hear that the Miami Heat have new Miami Vice uniforms? Right? That's our new segment where I say something and Jess just says yeet, which is apparently also another word that the youths say, and I just get older by the minute. This week's MVP, most valuable podcast, most valuable person is this guy named Aaron Dietz. Speaking of yeet. Aaron,
yeets.
Thank you so much because you sent us three memes, not one, but three.
Via email.
Where it's from a basketball game in Taipei where there are two very tall basketball players and then a very short man.
I've only seen the basketball game in Type B. Sorry, I don't know. I don't know what
that's
I'm saying.
Not
just,
even
just keep talking.
A joke.
Just forget that
it's
I said
just
that.
A, something that
I said.
You said. So one of them, so in on either side, we'll tweet this out in a second. My favorite one, Char and Jess are on either side of the short guy, and it just says
short guy.
It just says John Gruden waterbed sex and Playboy. And it doesn't make sense when I say it out loud.
It doesn't make any sense. Just check our Instagram,
you
most valuable podcast, and I will post them.
Yeah.
Thanks to our MVP.
Aaron, thank you. It's hard to speak memes, it turns out. But we appreciate you. Also, I love that you guys roasting me has become a meme. Carson Wentz, Eagles quarterback, posted a picture during the bye week of him and his brothers killing a fuckload of ducks. Like, I've never seen
a
so many dead
ton.
Ducks. A duck ton.
Literal.
Yeah.
You made that joke.
I did.
Sorry, I just took
proud
it.
Of it. No, it's okay. I
yeah,
appreciate the credit. It made me a little sad because there's so many dead animals hanging from a
Same.
Barn. But I was also
but
like,
duck confit's pretty good.
Yeah, I was like, you know what, Carson?
Just kidding.
You do you, man. Anyway.
Pro duck podcast.
But this Katie O'Hara, another shout out, she posted a picture. She tweeted at us and was like, oh my God, now I can't remember
oh
what.
Oh my God, Charlotte.
What did she say?
She was like all Charlotte's memes after getting shot down or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was funny. So
but
thank
the ducks
you, Katie.
Were all of Charlotte's shitty ideas.
Yeah.
And I was posing in front of them with a gun, essentially, yeah. was the gist of it. It was very good.
What I love is how nicely people roast me.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are so sweet about it. It's like, instead of knocking me down, you sort of cradle me and lie me gently on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I just appreciate
it's very
it.
Very sweet.
Thank you. Also, the last thing we have this week, we told you that if we...
We'll do this after.
We're going to do this after. Sorry.
After the credits.
Teaser. Jess, you have 30 seconds for a neutral rant.
Okay, Notre Dame's undefeated, and everyone needs to just relax. And if Notre Dame wins out, they're going to make the playoff. If they don't win out, then it's because they lost to a really shitty team. So why don't we all just wait until the end of the season, because we're obviously going to be in the 3 spot behind Bama at Clemson. And if Notre Dame plays Clemson in the Orange Bowl, I think I will spontaneously combust, because that will just be too much for me to handle as a fan. Also, Michigan barely beat Northwestern. They only won by 3 points. Northwestern was leading the entire game. This is the only common opponent that Michigan and Notre Dame have had, other than the head-to-head game when Michigan won. Notre Dame won. I'm talking too fast even for myself there. So Michigan sucks. Fuck Michigan.
That was a really good one.
No, I fucked up.
I don't know how you talk so fast.
I wasn't even talking that fast.
I don't think I could talk fast even if I tried. I'm trying to talk
also,
that
Penn
fast.
State,
am I talking that
Michigan
fast?
Beat Penn State by like 40 points. Penn State isn't that good this year. Their quarterback
you don't
has
get
been hurt
more
the
time.
Enti-
you,
this
you're
isn't about Notre Dame.
Sneak,
this is about college football. Penn State's
you're
not this
to
good this
sneak
year.
In a rant.
They lost to Ohio
oh
State.
Oh, my God.
They only beat Iowa.
You would be an incredible auctioneer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's our show.
Oh, embarrassing stories. So we told you guys that if we reached over 1,000 followers on Twitter, we would each tell an embarrassing story. We did. You guys are incredible. We are now, how many followers do we have on Twitter? We have 1,242 followers on Twitter.
Wow.
Which for the third week of our little sweet little podcast, I think is very impressive.
It is.
Not to toot our own horn, but I'm going to. If we hit 5,000 followers by next week, we will hold a drawing. Two people will get edible arrangements and five people will get hand-drawn pictures by me and Jess. You can up your chances of winning by leaving a five-star rating and a review. And if you tweet those at us, you'll get to enter the raffle five times.
Yep.
Incentive.
Incentive.
Anyway, so the embarrassing story. The embarrassing story, should I tell the I can't tell the really awful one. That if we get to 5,000, if you leave a ton of reviews.
Sure, I will tell the really bad one.
I'll tell a really bad one.
Tell the medium bad one.
The medium bad one. This is actually, it took me a while to be able to tell. So when I was in seventh grade, I had like my first boyfriend. And, but I was still nervous and young. I was 12 or 13? Mm-hmm. Like, some girls at that age in my class were like cool about it. I was still like very nervous. So this guy comes over and I don't know. His mom like drops him off at my house and my mom is home and I don't know. I like don't know what to do with him. So I have literally no idea what to do with this boy who is in my house. So we, oh my God.
Say it.
It's still so embarrassing.
Say it.
So we start playing Monopoly.
With your mom?
No. Oh. Just the two of us. Okay. But I get so nervous. I freak out that I'm like, hold on, I'll be right back. I leave my room. I go to my mom's office where she was calling us from just now. And I was like, I am in way over my head. I don't know what to do. This is so uncomfortable. I'm so nervous. And she's like, okay, do you want me to take him home? And I was like, no, like, what? That's weird. Like, all of it's weird. And she was like, okay, well, I have to get the car washed. Do you guys want to go to the car wash with me? And I was like, yes, sure. So I'm sitting in the front next to my mom. This poor guy's in the back seat.
He went to the car wash.
The fucking car wash. And then she drops him off.
What a first date.
My family still makes so much fun of me. But
that's horrifying.
There's a slightly better thing is like he lives in New York and we're good friends now and like watch football. So it's like
you moved past it.
Yeah, we've moved on. But I was like, hey, man, I just want you to know that, like,
sorry, you're the reason.
Sorry I made you go to the car wash. Second of all, you're the reason that my family roasts me mercilessly whenever we need to get our car cleaned. Aww. So that's mine. What's yours?
Oh, God. Okay, this is embarrassing. So when I was like 5 years old.
It's really bad.
When I was like 5 years old, my mom was in the hospital and we went to visit her. And I walked into the hospital room and my dad was standing there, like with his back to me. And I went up to him and I don't know why I thought this was like an acceptable thing to do, but I was just like,
you were five.
I like wound up and like smacked him on the ass, like for no reason. And he turns around and I look up and I realize it wasn't my dad. It was just a random guy that was in the room. And he was like, I will never forget. He looked at me and was like, what? And he said something like kind of weird. He was like, what was that for? Like, what are you doing? Or like, I don't know. And I like literally just ran away as fast as I could and like hid under the bed. It was the most mortifying. Might be my earliest memory. It was so mortifying. I've not forgotten it. I will never, ever. I remember what color shirt this man was wearing. Like, it was so horrifying.
I have a similar thing that happened to me. I was at a Christmas party at my cousin's house, and I was like, I must have been like 3 or 4. I'm crawling around on the ground, see my dad, go up to him, stick my head through his leg, like between his knees, and like look up, and it is super not my dad. So it's really, it's just awful. Anyway.
Thanks for listening to our show.
If we get to 5,000, we'll tell you an even worse one than I
have a worse one, too.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
All right. Love you. Mean it.